Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
This is All in Our Family. I am Ms. Yolanda Robinson. We are all family. All in Our Family, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. You're listening to All in Our Family, and I'm S. Yolanda Robinson, and this is radio, the way it should be heard. Oh, listening audience, did I will always, I think if you will follow me on Facebook and in the social media, I just was bragging about those children at Clinton Heights Elementary School. Oh, we did a session on my book, and when I went in there, it was more than what I could even imagine. So I just want to give a shout out to the staff over there and the students. Oh my gosh, it was so much love, and you could tell that they did a lot of work with the children teaching language arts, social science, and the arts. So, hi. But guess what? This is Women's History Month. And, you know, I'm just kind of looking at where we are today and the things that we need to be working on. And I guess, you know, we got a lot of work to do to make things better. There's our relationships and, you know, but there are two young ladies that really sparked my interest and made me made me real happy. I couldn't believe it. I was so happy to see young people coming up, stepping up to the plate. You know, we talked about people that make things happen. Well, let me tell you something. These young ladies, they even make me tired. Can you imagine that? Listen, watching them, because they are out there trying to make a difference. So I have in the studio, I have Denise Deja Mitchell. Deja, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, that is wonderful. I know you are doing good. You're doing some good things in our community.
Yes,
and Anise is doing some good things, too. Anise, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm out here.
All right, you're out of here. All right. But you know what? They are, I want them to tell you a little bit about what they're doing, some of the work that they're doing in the community, in our community. Deja, would you tell the listening audience a little bit of background on you? And by the way, she can sing. Oh, my gosh, when she sings, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. But she's not going to do that today, maybe on another show. But tell them about the activism work and the advocacy you're doing on behalf of young girls.
Yes, my name is Deasia. A lot of people, for short, they call me D or D Mitchell. I am the founder of Get Up and Live, which is an organization where we help women who have dealt with different traumas. I believe that traumas are small deaths that occur inside women. And for some of us, we don't realize that we are carrying some of those things. And so we go out and we do community things. We try to uplift the women who have dealt with trauma, dealt with issues, dealt with violence. We are also work hand in hand with my mom, who is also our pastor, Karen Mitchell, who does a No More Violence conference every year, bringing awareness to different things and different violences that happen around the world and in our community. So we're doing a lot of things, and we are looking forward to what is to come.
All right. Now, Anise, you're doing a lot of things, too, working with Deasia. So could you tell the listening audience about some of the things that you're doing in our community?
Sure. My name is Anise Elliott. I'm the assistant pastor at Total Man Ministries. I also am a founder of two nonprofit organizations, one being She Ministry, like Deasia was saying, reaching out to women, building self-esteem, heart, and energy. And then the other organization is Girls Talk, which is a mentoring program that I currently have enrolled at Eastbridge Academy School of Excellence, grades 7 through 8.
Wow. Now, both of you are doing grassroots organizing, and you have had personal, I know that you have had personal discussions with the women and that you work with and everything. What is the most pressing issues that we are facing right now? De'Asia.
For me, I believe that it is self-esteem.
Self-esteem?
I think that's one of the issues that we do face. It really is a big issue that occurs because a lot of us don't love ourselves. We don't have the confidence in ourselves. Another issue, I think, is in our community, we don't take the time to get the knowledge of what we should know, of what's going on in our community, of what we need to accomplish, what we need to get done. So we are used to seeing brokenness. We're used to seeing keeping secrets in the home. We're used to seeing chaos. So it's a big thing that we see with our young women. Most of them don't know how to love themselves. Most of them don't have self-esteem. Most of them are looking for love in all of the wrong places. So that's some of the things that I see as far as the young women that we do work with.
Now, Anise, do you agree with her, or do you wanted to add to that? So what are some of the issues you got? You talked to 7th and 8th graders. Is it the same thing, or do you agree with her, or is there some other issues that the younger women are?
I would definitely agree with De'Asia. I see a lot of lack of self-worth, self-esteem issues starting at a young age to adult women. And then I would add a lot of the issues that I see with women just in my work environment. They're at a place where they're carefree. And they allow themselves to be in dangerous situations, not knowing their worth, not knowing their value. So I definitely agree with that.
I was going to ask you, I know you're doing this program on Saturday called Stop the Violence. And do you think that a lot of the violence is because we get into these situations because of our self-esteem issues? We get into these situations because we don't value ourselves, and we think that if we stay longer, maybe that I'll get a feel good situation, and it gets worse and worse and worse. Do you think that happens, or is more about our self esteem?
Oh, definitely, I'd have to agree. I said one of the things was, women I found are allowing themselves to be in dangerous situations.
Such as?
I know, for example, a woman that I worked with, new to the area, just carefree, not being aware of her surroundings. She befriended a neighbor, came in for drinks, which there she was raped, drugged, and threatened. You know, he told her, no one's going to believe you. I'm a well-known guy in the area, so, you know, your word against mine. And I just believe that definitely increases the violence sexually, verbally, all across the board. Women not being aware of their surroundings. We don't live in the same generation we used to.
Yeah, it used to be that you know, you could go to your neighbor and be very, you know, neighbors were neighbors.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So neighbors aren't neighbors anymore, huh?
Nope.
Oh, my goodness. So this is serious. This is really serious. What do you suggest that we do to build our self-esteem? De'Asia, what kinds of things that we should do to build our self-esteem?
Well, I think one of the things we need to do and we should do is bring back the village. I remember when I was younger, we had a village We had a neighborhood that looked out for each other. We had, if you didn't have food in the home, somebody would help you to get that. Mm-hmm. If you didn't have love in the home, you could go to your friend's house and mm-hmm. they'll invite you to eat at the table. Mm-hmm. They'll, you know, invite you to be a part of their family. Mm-hmm. And we don't have that anymore. So I think mm-hmm. we really should bring back the village. And I think that it's okay for us to compliment each other.
Yeah.
It's like we fought so much against each other mm-hmm. that we don't even know how to show love to each other. Mm-hmm. We forget that we're in this thing together. Mm-hmm. So I think that if we're able to show love, tell somebody that they're beautiful. Tell a young man that he's handsome. Mm-hmm. Tell them that they could be anything that they want to be. Mm-hmm. We stopped giving our children affirmations a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I think that we should start doing that again so mm-hmm. that when they have to face the regular world, mm-hmm. they are able to, you know, understand that they're not where they came from. They're not a part of their environment. Mm-hmm. And that they can, you know, be confident in who they are.
You know, I agree with you. I really want that neighborhood, that when neighbors were neighbors,
yeah, yeah.
to come back in the community. Mm-hmm. Why did we lose it? You know, right now, when we're looking back when I was coming up, the neighbors were like your family.
Mm-hmm.
My neighbors, I am still friends, and I moved away from the neighborhood that I lived in, but we're all still connected. You know, if something happens to us, that neighborhood, something happens to us, they all come together as the neighbors mm-hmm. that yeah. were back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, but now you're not experiencing that in your generation.
That's right.
Oh, wow. So you think that but she's telling me that this lady went to visit her neighbor and they raped her.
Yeah.
So how do you know you're going to have what you said? We got to be aware of our environment. Yeah. How do you know that you could befriend your neighbor?
I definitely believe we have to get to a place where we communicate with a community, mm-hmm. Get to know one another, before just putting ourselves in certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten away from that in the community now. We get upset when another adult corrects our child.
Mm-hmm.
We get upset or we say, mind your business, if a person of the community gets involved in your situation instead of understanding they're trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking out for us. That's the village is a must
mm-hmm.
in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to get that back is to get to know one another
mm-hmm.
On a different level than just drinking,
mm-hmm.
just smoking, you know. Go to book clubs, go to the library,
mm-hmm.
go to church,
mm-hmm.
get to know one another, labor with your neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Labor with mm-hmm. your neighbor.
Yeah.
I like that. I kind of like that. I'm learning a lot from my guests.
Mm-hmm.
Last week it was flower power,
mm-hmm.
and this is labor with your neighbor. Well, you know, I don't like, De'Asia, do you think that she said that she believes it can happen again. Do you think that can happen in our community? We can start being neighbors. I mean, real for real neighbors, not like we had back in the day.
I believe we can.
Uh-huh.
I just think that it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that, again, we have to get knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be smart about some of the decisions that we do make.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be welcoming. We've got to show love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, we have different things that occur.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes everybody is not friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, you might run into somebody who, you know, like Anise was saying, you go in, you think you could trust them, and then things go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where you use your knowledge. That's
mm-hmm.
where you use the things that you were taught, your common sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about anybody else, but I was taught at a young age that, you know, you always make your own drink. You know,
oh,
you
yeah,
never let
yeah.
anybody,
you don't let nobody
make a drink
for
you.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
that's one of the things. You just have to keep your regular everyday points that
yeah.
seem small. You
uh-huh.
have to look at those in order, you know, for us to get the
yeah.
village back. We have
yeah.
to do research. We got to show love.
Uh-huh.
And we got to get an understanding of one another.
And watch we used to watch the children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, the children were our, I mean, as they weren't in school, we called up the, I couldn't play hooky when I was growing up. We had the nosiest neighbors. You know, every time we turned around, I tried to make friends with one of them. I went over and sat on her porch and tried to be friends with her, and she was still nosy, still telling my mom and dad, you know, Yolanda, because we weren't allowed to play outside the yard. And then she would call them up and tell them, Yolanda was outside the yard. I would be sneaking over in the next yard. And no, she was outside the yard, and she had somebody. She was had this boy carrying her books for her in school. And I said, but, you know, but that's the kind of neighbors you want, don't you?
Yes,
you really, you don't want neighbors that sit back and, you know, let you snatch your kids and they don't see anything.
That's right. You know? That's right.
I didn't see anything. Take all your furniture out, you know, and come in and steal everything, and they didn't see anything. Mm-hmm. And if you had a bad neighbor, everybody knew about it.
Yeah.
If you had a neighbor that didn't go according to your standards that you wanted to raise your children, you know, those nosy neighbors would know about it. And you weren't allowed over to that house. Everybody knew, hey, that's not the house you want to go over to, you know. So, yeah, I think that we do need to bring back the village.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, you have a program that's coming up Saturday. Your mom is doing it. Y'all doing some fantastic things in the community, and I don't know how you do it, but you do. Every time I turn around, you got a program. Get with the program! But anyway, you got a program coming up, and I'm going to be there with all of our families helping to sponsor. Tell us, DeAsia, and these first DeAsia, tell us about the program on Saturday at 10 o'clock at Total Man Ministry, 2323 Lake Club Drive.
It is going to be an awesome, awesome, awesome event. You all do not want to miss it.
Yeah.
It is called The Sounds of Silence. We are bringing awareness to human trafficking. We are bringing awareness to sexual activity as far as in the home, molestation, rape, just different things that we don't talk about, things that we keep in the home because we're afraid of. So we are bringing awareness to that. And this is something that we do every year. I believe now we are in our 10th year. It started, the first one started with mothers who have lost their children to gun violence. We've done domestic violence. We've done a little bit of everything. So we want you all to come out, be with us to get answers, answer that you've been wanting to know, to get information on what to do, what not to do, how to prevent it from happening to you, to get spiritually fed, healed. Come on and join us. Again, we're going to be at 2323 Lake Club Drive, Columbus, Ohio, 43232.
Okay, Anise, got anything else you want to add up to the program that's coming up on Saturday?
I do know Pastor Karen Mitchell, who will be hosting the event, has a dynamic lineup. I know she has First Lady Michelle Henderson coming from Cincinnati, Minister Nathaniel Smith coming from Dayton, Tamekia Smith, Miss Christy Johnson from here in Columbus will be giving awesome testimonies. And I do believe the Columbus Police Department will be out to inform and bring awareness as well. So, again, we invite you to come out for healing and recovery.
Now, I heard one man. Are you talking about males' issues or just female issues? When you talk about the rape and the violence and the trafficking, about males, is that how are males involved in this program?
We do have males. Everyone is invited to come, male, female, children. One thing I've learned is abuse, it doesn't have a perspective. It reaches all genders. So men are definitely involved. I do, like I said, we have a male speaker, Nathaniel Smith. Awesome, awesome, powerful testimony he has. And it sometimes it hits a little different hearing from a man that abuse is something that can reach them and how to overcome that.
And I think sometimes they're more silent than we are.
Oh, yes.
Because it's a stigma on men that, you know, that they're not supposed to say anything if they were raped by even a woman. You know, that's something that was supposed that is not said. And the psychological effect that it has on is devastating.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So the men will be involved. You know, I have to say this. I really have to say this. When you go to Total Man Ministries event, now I went over there, and I went one time by myself. I've been over there twice, and I watched the programs and worked with them. But I went over to one of their programs. Oh my gosh. You are not alone when you walk in the room. So don't think that you got to call your girlfriend or call somebody because you're going to be scared that you don't know anybody. You know what? Those are some down home folks. they don't make you feel like you don't know anybody. I was all by myself, and next thing I know, I got a whole table of people sitting with me. When I walked in the door, they were all so friendly. Hi, how are you? And the place, I mean, the decorations was just, I was going like, you know, and the food, I mean, everything about the program, and I do programs, but I said, this was awesome. You're going to get fed, you know, both spiritually and also physically with food, and you don't have to pay a dime. Everything is free. You're going to get a lot of good information. Now, we talked about a little bit about the self-esteem and everything. Now, I know that you're going to touch more on it back when you get on Saturday. But, you know, we get into these abusive relationships. You know, what do you recommend that we do, De'Asia? I mean, what do you do? Can abuse be, is it all physical or can it be emotional? De'Asia?
Abuse can come in many forms. It could be physical, it could be mental, it could be emotional. One thing that I would suggest is to looking around your surroundings. One of the things that I've heard from women who have been abused, and even some men who have been abused, it was a thing of, okay, this is happening, but where are we gonna go? What are we going to do? Who's going to take care of the kids? So a lot of times in abuse, for whatever reason, we think that if we stay in it, we're protecting something. So we've got to really look at our surroundings, really look if we have children, look at our children, look at, what is going on in the room. Take time to really get an understanding, because if you don't, you could end up either dead. You can end up in a situation where now it's been situations where the woman has finally just broke and killed the person. Or the man, have his rage went too far and he ended up killing the family plus himself. Mm-hmm. So we want to, first be like, okay, take a deep breath, and then it really analyze where you are and get out as fast as you can. Talk with someone, get help, call the hotline, get on the internet, do whatever it is you need to do, but get out of there.
What about you, Anise? What would you think? What should we do if we're in an abusive relationship?
I would definitely say get out, get informed, and get out. I was watching a documentary series with surviving R. Kelly, and his wife was talking about how she was looking online at a list of ways to identify that you were in an abusive relationship. And she was able to identify with 17 out of the 20 questions or something like that. To bring awareness that, hey, something is wrong. It's not always physical abuse. Sometimes there's a verbal abuse, mental abuse. I know for myself, being a domestic violence survivor, I was in a relationship and didn't know that. I was seeing signs, but it kept progressing. It started as little arguments and go to physical altercations. And, it's important that you understand the signs of this isn't how I should be treated, which always stems back to the self-esteem and self-worth, knowing your value. If you know how you're supposed to be treated, you're aware of your partner and how they're giving and treating you.
A lot of times people just assume that it's okay, you know, that you call me some names.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. We'll get over this. I just need to have a man, you know, because that's what I need, you know. And then your psychological part, the psychological things that, you know, you don't feel good about yourself. And you think that that's going to identify who you are, if you as long as you stay in that relationship. So yeah, but I don't think we really know how to deal with anger. Everybody gets angry at times, you know, and in relationships. But I don't think. Do you? I mean, Deasia, do you think there's enough education on what you do when you're angry?
I don't think so, especially in our community, because our community, we're taught to shun, you know, counseling and therapy, and we're taught that that is wrong. Mm-hmm. So we don't get the necessary tools. Again, we don't get the knowledge to know that you can walk away from a situation, or to know that you could take a few deep breaths, or we don't really get down to the depths of why we're angry in the first place. Some of us are angry and we don't even know why. We don't know what caused it. We don't know where the anger first penetrated at. We don't know anything. We just know that we're angry.
We have a caller on the line. Caller? Oh, okay. I thought we had a caller on the line. Okay. So, yes, and we don't. I mean, we think that we see our education has been on TV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we see people hitting each other. We see people, and sometimes in our music, we hear people calling each other the B word and all kinds of words, and we're supposed to like that. Mm-hmm. When actually we're not doing each other any good.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. That means that it's time up. Tell people where that program is going to be. I'll be there. Deasia's going to be there. Anissa's going to be there. And I want to see you there.
That's right.
Okay, where's it going to be? A Saturday. March 7th.
We will be there Saturday, March the 7th at 10 a.m. We'll be at Total Man Ministries at 2323 Lake Club Drive, Columbus, Ohio, 43232. We want to see you there.
That's right.
Yes. And you've been listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com, All in Our Family, and I will see you next week. Love you.
Attention, Central Ohio! Attention, Central Ohio! Lincoln Realty has an important announcement to make.
Effective immediately. We will sell your home for 5%. Yes, 5% commission. You will get the same great service we have provided for over 35 years. Hurry and call Lincoln today at 614-375-2289. We have buyers for all areas. Call today. 614-375-2289. 614-375-2289. You'll be glad you did.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kicking online.
That's
A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N. Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kicking products are better than those other guys. Ash Kicking candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right. And you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N. Shop Ash Kickin' online at www.ashkickin.com.
Think you can't afford life insurance? Think again. You might be surprised at how affordable it can be. 80% of Americans overestimate the cost of life insurance. Maybe it's time to swap a few small expenses for some big peace of mind. Life insurance can protect what matters most, and it's the right thing to do. Let's talk today. So call me, Marvin Smith, at American Family Insurance at 614-986-3105. You can also visit my website at marvinsmithinsurance.com. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
We must build and bond our family.
We've got the power.
Attention, Central Ohio! Attention, Central Ohio! Land & Co. Realty has an important announcement to make.
Effective immediately. We will sell your home for 5%. Yes, 5% commission. You will get the same great service we have provided for over 35 years. Hurry and call Land & Co. today at 614-375-2289. We have buyers for all areas. Call today. 614-375-2289. 614-375-2289. You'll be glad you did.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kickin' online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin' products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin' candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N. Shop Ash Kickin' online at www.ashkickin.com.
Think you can't afford life insurance? Think again. You might be surprised at how affordable it can be. 80% of Americans overestimate the cost of life insurance. Maybe it's time to swap a few small expenses for some big peace of mind. Life insurance can protect what matters most, and it's the right thing to do. Let's talk today. So call me, Marvin Smith, at American Family Insurance at 614-986-3105. You can also visit my website at marvinsmithinsurance.com. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
Amina Brendalyn Robinson shared her creative energy with the people of Columbus and the Mount Vernon neighborhood.
Now the Greater Columbus Arts Council hopes her creative spirit will inspire future generations of black artists.
The two new programs are open to black and visual artists are the Amina Robinson Fellowship for local artists and the Amina Robinson Residency for national artists. More information about both programs is available at gcac.org or call 614-224-2606.
Sex Code War by Kahari Inaharo, the author of the Essence magazine bestseller Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
My name is Al Edmondson. I'm a business owner and community organizer. I want to encourage you to visit the King Lincoln District, our community. It's a great place to live, work, and worship. Catch a show at the Lincoln Theater. Enjoy smooth jazz at the King Arts Complex. Enjoy great food and visit our historical churches and newly remodeled homes. Live, work, and worship the King Lincoln District.
Our government doesn't seem to care that 9 million children have no health insurance, even though every dollar spent immunizing children against illness saves more than $16 in medical costs to make them better. Doesn't anyone see? We're wasting money and allowing children to get sick.
I am Susie Flynn. A vote for me is a vote for the 9 million uninsured children.
9 million uninsured children need a solution now. For more information, go to electsusie.com.
Humpty Dumpty got stoned on a wall, lost his balance, and had a great fall. All of his doctors and all his sad friends couldn't fit Humpty together again.
Do you know what your kids know about drugs? Need help? Get help. Visit our website at drugfree.org. A message from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
We must build and bond our family.
We've got the power.
Listening audience, this is Women's History Month, and I have a real treat for you on the show. I have the person who started the term Africana woman, and it is a term that's been used all over the world. Her name is Dr. Clenora Hudson-Weems. I mean, she's done so much. So many, her research in the academic community is noted and honored. She was one of the first person. She was the first person that did some research on Emmett Till, and she has several books. She has Environmental Justice in the New Millennium, The State of the Race, Creating Our 21st Century. That's an upcoming chapter. But she has a lot of books. I'm going to let Dr. Clenora Williams tell you a little bit more about herself, because I think this is some of the information I have right here is totally accurate. But Dr. Williams, could you tell the listening audience a little bit about who you are and some of the things that you're doing?
How are you doing, Yolanda?
How are you doing? I forgot to say hello. Oh, my gosh. How are you doing today, Dr. Williams?
I'm doing just fine.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, I know, because you've been doing some phenomenal things. I don't know if you ever go to sleep. could you tell the listening audience a little bit?
I sleep when I want to. But there are so many things out here that need to be attended to, that I don't know if I sleep enough, but I think so.
Yes,
let's just say I'm okay with it, whatever.
Yes. Yeah. So tell the listening audience about some of the work that you're doing and that you have done.
Okay, well, actually, I like to start with the most recent publication. I am the author of 4 books on Africana womanism. The most recent one is entitled Africana Womanism, Reclaiming Ourselves, the 5th edition of the classic, the 1993 classic, Africana Womanism, Reclaiming Ourselves. The latest one just came out in October, October 2nd, as a matter of fact, of 2019, published by Rutledge Press out of London, the U.S., I think, and Australia. But at any rate, it is a global concept. As you probably remember, the first international Africana Womanism Conference was held at the University of Zimbabwe, hosted by the university in 2010. And we've been trying to get back to Zimbabwe. It's been quite a few things happening, you know, including the cholera outbreak, and that was a couple of years ago, and then, of course, the political climate, different things that have caused us to want to say, maybe not at this time, but we're looking forward to going back to Zimbabwe. And with the new edition, it's just all the more reason that we should really push to try to get back to the continent of Africa to just sort of like resituate ourselves with this global concept. The thing with African women is that was the first book, 1993. The second one came out in 2003. Entitled Africana Womanist Literary Theory with Africa World Press. That was sort of like a sequence, I would call it a sequel, to the first book. And then, of course, we had Africana Womanism and Race and Gender in the Presidential Candidacy of Barack Obama that came out in 2008-2009. And then, of course, this resurgent with the first a classic edition was out of print for a couple of years. And so we decided to do this one and add a whole new section. It was divided into two parts. This new one has three parts. The new section is entitled From Africana Womanism to Africana Melanated Womanism. So you're going to be seeing that terminology more so than just Africana Womanism. It's not significantly different. It is just that terminologically, it's more pronounced that it is all-inclusive. It does deal with women of African descent, but it expands itself more overtly with the terminology that we are where we are all over the world, the continental African, African Americans, African Caribbeans, African Europeans, you know, African Canadians, wherever we are in the world, that's us. And our mission remains the same, that we are in it together. We are not about female exclusivity. We are about men, women, and children in it together. That's the main thing.
So that's what. So that is basically Africa. What is an Africana woman? I mean, she. And who can we identify in our of a woman that would be that you would say that would be somebody that everybody would know that you would consider an Africana woman, and the movement.
Well, you know, the funny thing about it is an Africana womanist is. Basically, a woman of African descent who prioritizes the triple plight of the African woman is race, class, and gender. So, if we find someone who's dealing with the race factor as a number one issue, which it is, then we say, okay, that's the first sign of an African womanist. If she's family centered, then that's another sign of the African womanist, because we are family centered. It's not about just us. As an individual, as a woman, it is about the entire family. If we are genuine in sisterhood, and what I'm doing now is just identifying some of the 18 characteristics of the Africana woman, it's starting with self-naming. We name ourselves. See, the problem is that when you name yourself after another, then you're going to be basically a part of this is identity. You're identifying with a part of that. Person or that person's persuasion. So we believe in naming ourselves. That's why I call myself an Africana womanist as opposed to any other female-based concept or terminology, that we are self-defined as we define ourselves. Morrison does an excellent job in
Toni Morrison.
In the celebrated novel, Beloved, and we all know Toni Morrison, that she has the narrator say that definitions belong to definers. That's the dominant culture, not the defined. That's us during slavery. And it's past time for us to now define ourselves, because if we don't define ourselves, someone else will, and they usually do a poor job at it. And then you try to redo it, and it's sometimes too late. So we upfront name and define ourselves, family-centered, genuine in sisterhood. We believe in supporting our sisters. We talk and we share our woes, our joys, all of that. To make life better for ourselves and our families. We're very strong, not just physically, certainly that too, but also emotionally and psychologically, that we are in concert with the male in the struggle. We're in it together. That's what I mean by that, and that we are whole, that is, we are well-rounded. We are not just one-dimensional. We're multidimensional. That we're authentic, which means that we are connected with our culture. We have no apologies or problems of identifying those things that are characteristic of us as an Africana people. That we are very much flexible role players. We're not, you know, trapped into a particular role, but we respect traditional roles of men and women. It's nothing wrong with those roles, but we're flexible enough to say, at this particular time, I'm going to have to do this too, you know, that we are respected and recognized. And this is very important, because sometimes people will quickly say that we as women demand respect and recognition. Yes, we do, but we have to understand that it's reciprocal. At the same time, you're demanding respect and recognition. You cannot throw out condescending, negative attitudes about the male sector. You know, I can't take them, you know, they're all men are dogs and da-da-da. And the same utterance that you're asking for respect, you have to give it. So that's, we have to remember that those ideas are reciprocal. that we are very spiritual. There is a divine spirit, the divine being that helps to shape our lives and our reality. That we are male compatible no matter what your personal sexual preference is. The way the human race is perpetuated is through male-female interaction at some point. So we have to appreciate the way it has been set into motion. That we are indeed respectful of elders as well we should be because they paved the way for us. And that we are adaptable. You know, we don't have to have a room of one's own that Virginia Woolf calls for. You know, the kitchen table becomes the desk when the kids are in the bed. It's just as simple as that. We're adaptable. That we're ambitious because we know that it takes two to tango, that we are financially connected with the overall family financial situation as well. So we're ambitious, and we are, at last, we have to remember mothering and nurturing without apology, that we are concerned about our children. We are concerned about their health and their well-being. And we are concerned about our male sectors. You know, we're just always, as I tell people, in it together. That's the main thing. Okay. So when you start thinking about some of these popular personalities out there who have bought into the concept of other than Africana womanist being, that is because of the fact that they have probably not been told that there is a terminology that's more appropriate to who they really are. I don't want to really name anybody, but you can think of them all out there, and you say, well, they do this. I just gave you some characteristics, 18 distinct features of the African woman. And you can pick them out from the music industry, from the entertainment of acting, et cetera, and they represent. But sometimes they've been misnamed and misclaimed by others as being other than Africana woman is because they're women. Mm-hmm. And they figure, okay, if they're a woman, they must be this. No, just because you're a woman, you don't have to be identified with a group that does something other than what you do. Anything that, for example, as a black person, if it's not about the correcting the black elements first, problems or situations, things that we're dealing with, then there's something that's slightly wrong with that because we haven't gotten over that hurdle. Yeah. We have to get over that hurdle first. That's
we always have to deal with the race, class, and gender. Because every time we're working on these issues, race will sometimes surface when you're trying. But, you know, you've gone all around the country and all around the world. You've talked to women all around the world. What do you see as the major issues of women that you said you've been over there to Zimbabwe and what is Africana woman? What are we facing? What are they talking about? So what are some of their concerns?
Well, you know, this is after we're concerned with our families and ourselves, just like anybody else. Let me tell you, this is amazing that you would ask that question because in this new book, I have an annotated bibliography, and I give a definition, but an overview of the book or the article. And there was one in particular that I absolutely love. It's an article that came out in 2016 with the Journal of Namibia Studies. And the authors are Angela Kauser and are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. And Sandra Barnes. Mm-hmm. It says, from shack dwellers to homeowners. This is amazing. Mm-hmm. And in this article, they explore how Africana womanism, which is a family-centered paradigm, played a major role in aiding the shack dwellers and the Federation of Namibia with the assistance, of course, of the self-help housing and Federation membership and bringing them their goals to full fruition by working this thing out. What they talk about is, of course, that they had practice these 18 characteristics of Africana womanism every day. And in the end, they found out that they were successful now in buying homes as opposed to continuing to live in shacks. So they moved from shack dwellers to homeowners. It's applicable. If you just do this, you'll find yourself and embrace it. You'll find yourself successful in almost anything you do.
So
you find your relationships are more successful, that you're not anti-male, You love your male counterpart. It doesn't mean that there aren't some issues that have to be addressed. Certainly, we understand and we will address them. You leave it to us, and yes, we will address it. But we are not here to destroy or to deem male, African males, as irredeemable because of the issues. We simply have to talk it out, get it straight, and move forward. Because we have a family that we're talking about, the collective Africana family. So you have women, I don't care if they're in the academy, at the universities. I've spoken at the University of Nigeria in Suka as well, and in Canada, throughout the U.S. You know, we in the Caribbean, we have to realize that we're people. That's all. Mm-hmm. And we have issues that impact our families positively and or negatively. And we want to get more positives out of it than negatives. So we have to work together mm-hmm. to make sure that we bring those things to fruition. Mm-hmm. So they're talking about just everyday things. They're talking about politics. They're talking about health issues. Very important, you know, that we need to make sure that we make some suggestions that will help each other to overcome some of these medical conditions that we have. And it's not always just one way to look at it. You know, there are cellular level treatments that people are doing now. I'm very much into that. Mm-hmm. I was raised on Shaklee vitamins, for example, so I've always been, you know, more influenced by cellular level treatments. Mm-hmm. And so that's the concern. Mm-hmm. We're concerned with happiness. We're also concerned with economics. You know, we don't want to be the last ones who are able to financially take care of our family. We want wealth, too. Mm-hmm. So when I talk about these kinds of things, I'm talking about health and wealth together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about that later, and I can give you some dynamics of what I'm doing in that area as well.
But that's what we're talking about.
We're talking about everyday life.
Everyday life. We found out a lot of us, and a lot of the women and the young women here in Columbus are facing self-esteem issues. They don't feel good about themselves. So, you know, when you say Africana woman, you know, they may not even feel. What do you suggest, you know, if you we want that we do to move us together, you know, with the low level of self-esteem, and then find out that they get into these relationships that are not healthy for them, and it gets worse.
First of all, education is very important. Just buy my book. Just to start it. But my students, my class is closed. I teach at the University of Missouri Columbia. I've been here for 20-plus years. Mm-hmm. My class is closed on pre-registration, both of them, mm-hmm. every semester. And I don't have to publicize my classes. They're mm-hmm. very popular. But my thing is, people have to know how to treat things. When you think that the only way you can have a positive relationship is to bully back, you know, that's not going to get it. You need to read and understand that you are. But read articles, read books that will show you and say and speak to you about the beauty of yourself and your life. Mm-hmm. There's a chapter here in that I have in the reprint, for example, the new edition, mm-hmm. African Woman is Reclaiming Ourselves. And in part two, part one is the theory, and part two is the application of the theory to text. And there's a book that is no longer available now. It's out of print. It was by a Senegalese writer by the name of Miriam Abba. And I love my students. They look at me, they're just, but I have chills whenever I read this passage. It is toward the end of this 83-page novel, epistolary novel. And I just want to read to you what it, I mean, you talk about advice. This is advice. She says, I remain persuaded by the inevitable and necessary complementarity of man and woman. Love, imperfect as it may be in its content and expression, remains the natural link between these two beings. To love one another, if only each partner could move sincerely toward the other, if each could only melt into the other, if each would only accept the other's successes and failures, if each would only praise the other's qualities instead of listing his faults, if each could only correct bad habits without harping on about them, if each could penetrate the other's most secret hunts to forestall failure and to support while tending to the evils that are repressed, the success of the family, is born of a couple's harmony, as the harmony of multiple instruments creates a pleasant symphony. The nation is made up of all the families, rich and poor, united or separated, aware or unaware. The success of a nation, therefore, depends inevitably on the family. Let me get my glasses to read the next one. But do you understand the message there?
Yeah.
It's saying that we need to work towards
loving each other
and respecting each other.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what has happened.
Yeah.
There's been a breakdown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we think that the only way that we're going to get some respect is to bully it out of the person. That's not the way it works.
Yeah.
There has to be some love and respect on both ends.
Yeah.
And if it's not, then somebody needs to request that at some point those two should come together and be on one accord. You know, that's the godly way.
Yeah.
You know, and there is another poem, for example, that I quote. I remember when I was invited to speak at a I think it was called Fort Leninwood. That's in Missouri. It's an Army base, and it was the officers' Black History Month program. And I felt that it's probably going to be.
Hello. Okay. Hello. Oh, she has to call back. Oh, I'm sorry. Something happened. We got a disconnect on the line. But you know what? Dr. Weems is talking about love. We don't have enough love. We're not speaking enough love to each other. You know, we need to look at people that in our community and our children and start speaking love. You know, words are powerful. And we need to show love. You know, working in a lot of our community organizations is too much envy. You know, we all have different skills. God's given us different skills. And so, you know, when we come together in harmony and all of them connecting, we have a beautiful community, such as, you know, we talked about in the earlier part of my show. We talked about neighbors being neighbors. We want to bring back the love, y'all. Let's bring back the love. Let's start speaking that to our children and also speaking it to our family and friends. And Dr. Weems is back on the line. Okay, Dr. Weems. Well, I think we only have a few more minutes, but did you want to say a few things in closing? Hello? Okay. Hello? Okay. Well, I thought that she was on the line, but yes, we do need to do that. You need to look at the Africana woman. You know, the Africana woman isn't anti-male, and she's more for all races and her race first, and then and also working to on race, class, and gender issues. This is with Women's History Month. Dr. Clenore Hudson Weems, the author of Africana Womanism. And we had a brief talk with her. Something happened. She was cut off the line. But you can get her book on Amazon, and you can also get it at Barnes & Noble. It's at most every bookstore. But you can pick up her book on the Africana Womanism. We got a lot of programs coming up. You know, we got Jazz and Eggs coming up here in Columbus. If you're here, you want to be in the room on May the 9th. Jazz, Eggs, and Friends with 100 Black Women Columbus. And okay, Dr. Hudson was able to get her back on the line. Dr. Weems, do you have anything that you want to tell the audience in closing?
Yeah, first of all, I thought it was an hour show. If I had known that, I wouldn't have even elaborated on certain things.
But that's okay.
Sorry that it dropped. But yeah, all I can say is they can go online. They can just Google my name, and they can find out as much as they want to find out about any books that co-authored the first book on Toni Morrison in 1990. Uh-huh. And, of course, I've been speaking here and there with different types of tributes to Toni Morrison, and she is an African, a womanist writer.
Yes.
I have my chapters. I look at her works from an African perspective. Also, the first to establish Emmett Till as the true catalyst of the civil rights movement. Your doctoral dissertation, you're prescribing among the community studies even considered MCO when they were coming up. So, the point. You know, just at any point, you can just give me a jingle.
But, all right. All right. That was Dr. Clenora Hudson-Williams. Look, we'd like to thank you for being on this week's program of All in Our Family. You've been listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com, and I'll see you next week. Love you.
The power, the world's greatest radio, TalkTainmentRadio.com.